City shining on a hill,
a beacon, the last best hope for all mankind. America, destined, birthed, called to be a nation to bring forth liberty and freedom, a gathering place for peace-loving people, and a place for the cross of Christ to be free, a place to send forth the message around the earth that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the glory of the Father. A place where there was a manifest destiny that we would be able to be a country, one nation under God, indivisible, with life and liberty and justice for how many? In America, we are called back to a place of repentance and called back to a place on our knees to surrender once again to the Almighty God of heaven, who blessed us with bounty, who blessed us with freedom, who blessed us with liberty. Freedom without God is tyranny. Freedom without God in the life is living for oneself. And when you live for oneself long enough, you discover the impulses of the flesh lead you to tyranny and to bondage indeed. He who is free indeed. And freedom comes by being set free in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen, church? Freedom is only freedom when it's under the blood of the Lamb. Freedom is only freedom when it's come, birthed by God Himself into a heart set free. God created you with a God-shaped vacuum. And He says, I want to fill it with myself. I want to fill it with my Son. I've called you to a destiny, to a life, and to a place of holiness and vibrancy. A life to reflect my glory. A life to live like the Son of God on the earth today. And when we turn aside from God's way, we have a country that calls itself free but goes into bondage on every hand. We may have more money than ever, but it's not money His hand has refined or made divine. We may have more opportunities for people to buy up land, more people to get rich, and yet we still have starving people in the streets who don't know the freedom of the message of Jesus Christ. This land is a land of opportunity, but first and foremost, it was called to be a light and to be a city on a hill shining for the glory of God. Lord, have mercy on our land. As we stand on the verge of our 230th year as a nation on the 4th of July, it's a time for patriotism. It's a time, it's not wrong to be patriotic and love our country. It's a time to rejoice in the freedoms that we have. It's a time to enjoy family. It's a time to really enjoy burgers, potato chips, clam dip. It's a time to enjoy the freedom we have. But it's first and foremost a time to rededicate ourselves as a people called by the merciful hand of God to live our lives and to live in a country rededicated to God from one end of our land to the other. How many of you desire to see revival fires burn throughout our land? How many of you desire to see Jesus lifted up from one end of our land to the other? Oh, God, have mercy in our land. In a way that so attracts others that don't know Him. In a way that attracts them, doesn't bash their heads in with the lousy news, but attracts them with the good news. Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ gives you hope. Jesus Christ gives you deliverance. Yes, if you've sinned, you can be forgiven. Yes, if you've had a baby out of wedlock, you can have that baby and be cared for by the body of Christ. Yes, if you've sinned, you can be forgiven by a loving God and accepted by a loving family that wants to reflect the glory of God and Jesus and His life and love. Amen? We're a country full of sinning people. Sinners need a great God, don't you know? Anybody in this room not sin? Okay, don't raise your hand. But we all need Jesus. We've got the message of hope. The message of deliverance, the message of life. If you want to really be free, maybe you've found it like me. There's only one place. That freedom is in Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that the people who decry their freedoms the most, to live what they want to do and go do what they want to do, are oftentimes the most bound up. I'll tell you why. Let's go to the scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. If you'll go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you can just keep your finger there and I'll refer to other scriptures. But this is really the theme of this morning. The morning's message is called Hearts Yearn for Liberty. Hearts Yearn for Liberty. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. Quoting from, of course, Isaiah, and we will read those scriptures as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the message of Jesus. One of the key elements is to proclaim what? Liberty to the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty, those who are oppressed. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console, verse 3, those who mourn in Zion, to give them, it says, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Who are the captives? And what has them captured? Liberty. The captives, those who are captive. Captivated people need liberty. And the word captive is the Hebrew word shabi, and it means to literally be exiled, to be captured, to be bound over, prisoners taken away. Now, before you came to Christ, you don't have to tell me what it was, but can anybody in this room testify right along with me that you were in bondage to sin? The Bible says you're free to serve one master. You're going to serve one, you're going to serve the other, you're not going to be able to serve them both. Because if you want to choose sin, it binds you up in its grip. How many understand the devil has nothing good in mind for you? Preach it to each other. Look at each other and say, devil has nothing good in mind for you. Go ahead, say it southern to each other. Devil has nothing good in mind for you. So now look at each other, shake your finger, say, so stop sinning. Well, you guys are kind of hard with each other. What's going on here this morning? Man, you got to be careful when you come to church at Grace Christian Center. They'll start shaking their finger at you. But you're in bondage to one thing or another. Listen, I would rather be bound up as a captive to my God. That really is not bondage. It's a love slave. It's a love-slave relationship. The Bible talks about the slave in the Old Testament who could go free, but loved his master so much, he said, I don't want to go free. So they took him to a doorpost, put an awl through his ear. He was marked. He was called a bond slave, a love slave. I would rather be a love slave to my God, captured and controlled in my heart by Him, than be bound by a taskmaster who wants to destroy me and take me to hell. Listen, you get involved in enough sin, even if eternity isn't in mind, it destroys your life. An example, we talked about it around here a few months ago, the gal who was involved in methamphetamines. You saw two pictures on the front page of the paper. One, when she was just starting into meth, the second one 3 months later. And she was a devastated person, didn't look at all like the same person. Can she be forgiven? Of course. You pray for her deliverance and help. But sin has nothing good in mind. Sin only wants to destroy you. I'd rather be a love slave to my God. You know, what is it David said in the Old Testament? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of wickedness. To spend a day or spend 1,000 years or wherever it is out in the fields of sin. We think we're going to enjoy the thing. Have you ever thought you were really going to go enjoy that sin? And it wasn't so much fun after all. It bit you back. Now, I'm not stupid. There was some joy in it. You wouldn't have done it. Now I'm preaching. You wouldn't have done it. Or we wouldn't have done it. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. As soon as that season's over, watch out. Usually the season is over after a few seconds. Because the heart gets guilty right away. Doesn't it? Come on, let's be real with each other. Isn't it? You know, no matter what it is, if you know it's sin, you know in your heart of hearts, I shouldn't do this thing, but I want to. Did your kids ever do anything like that? But I wanna. You ever been like that? But I wanna. And God sits back and goes, okay, you jerk, go right ahead. And a few seconds after the completion, I don't wanna. God changes our hearts so we don't wanna. But there's a bondage to sin. And there's a freedom in Christ. You remember the joy of being forgiven? Did you experience it today already? Sure. If you did something. Come up here and tell us all. No, I'm kidding. Okay, good. But the liberty that captured, I'm an exile, I'm taken as a captive. That's what sin is like. They're exiled and captured by sin. The Bible says sin separates you from God. Where'd the joy go? Where is peace go? Where'd the presence of God go? I turned away from him. He didn't go anywhere. I went somewhere. So repentance, therefore, means when you're going one way, you've turned away from God. You turn around, you repent, you ask his forgiveness, turn around, and walk the other way, right back into the arms of God. That doesn't mean sloppy. That doesn't mean turn your back on God, do anything you want. No, he'll be fine. No, that's not what the Bible says. But the Bible does say there's grace for the repentant sinner. Anybody in this room glad? I think I can hear an amen loud on that. Who's glad for forgiveness? Oh, good. Talking to the right crowd. What does liberty mean? The Hebrew word for liberty is deror. Deror. And it means to move rapidly. To move rapidly, if you will, out of exile. Freedom, spontaneity. You ever notice that? Your joy leaves when you're in sin? It doesn't? Come on. Come on, you guys. You got to get real with me here this morning. I'm talking to real people. Doesn't your joy leave when you're in sin? You know you're guilty. All of a sudden, the joy's spontaneity. How are you doing? I'm fine, thanks. How are you really doing? I'm caught in sin. Thanks. Get off my case. Pray for me, okay? Get out of my face. The joy leaves. Liberty is gone. But when liberty comes in like a rushing mighty wind of forgiveness and a fresh sail that is filled with the breeze of God. And he gives you a fresh enthusiasm and a fresh joy and a fresh ability to get up and go on without shame, without condemnation. Liberty comes from the blood of Jesus. Liberty comes from the forgiveness of God. Liberty comes from God himself through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is a freeing spirit. His freedom, his overflow, it's clear, it's transparent, and God wants to set us free. John 8, verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Now, do you know what that verse means in the Greek? It means this. Listen carefully. We can read it quickly, but when you stop long enough, here's what it really means. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. See, as we come to Christ, he sets us free. Why are some Christians bound up? If you continue to choose to walk against the Spirit of the Lord that he has put in within you, and you turn to sin, you're going to live in shame and condemnation, all bound up. Where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. Let me tell you a story. When Israel was in bondage for 400 years to slavery, okay? When they got out, remember they got out in one night. They got kicked out. Okay? When they got after the 10 plagues came upon them and Egypt set them free. When Israel came out of bondage, were they free to just wander all around the desert, do their own thing? Tell me about the first place where God took them. Mount Sinai. To give them what? The Ten Commandments. And as long as Israel kept God's face in front of their face, and they walked according to His word, they were blessed. They weren't set free to just wander all around and do nothing. They went first to Mount Sinai. Now, I'm not sending you to the law, but the law still has impact. How many, again, agree that if America would follow the Ten Commandments, she would be blessed? Now, I believe in the grace of God that saves us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But God didn't throw away the Ten Commandments. How many of you believe it's still right? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and worship Him only. You believe that? We'll be blessed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You think that's a good thing in our country? Yeah, I think that's good. Thou shalt not covet. Neighbor's wife, neighbor's donkey. That means your neighbor's Cadillac. Your neighbor's, you know... Yeah, new version, okay? You know, mode of transportation, neighbor's yacht, you know, whatever it is. I mean, if we will follow God, listen, the freest children growing up, the most secure children, have loving boundaries. The children who are insecure are the ones who have been allowed to go their own way, do whatever, have no restraint, and if they're not loved and they have no restraint, you know what they become? Criminals. Had my own way, had no love. Love brings restraints. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hey, bam, 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 there's some restraint. I shouldn't do. Okay, guess what? In between the I shouldn't do's, there's a whole bunch of I get to's. You see what I'm saying? There's a whole bunch of here's how I get to walk with God. I get to enjoy Him. Make sense? Okay. Freedom comes in Christ. Bondage comes from sin. Why are you free? Because you're a daughter or a son of the King. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. I'm sorry, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In the Greek, you know what that really means? Daddy. Relationship with God. Galatians 4, verses 5 and 7. To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay, how many of you grew up? Thought I'd get a hand on that one. Wanted everybody to be able to respond. How many of you have grown up? Okay. You grew up in a home, an apartment, whether it was a shanty or a shack, you had a home to go to. Most of us, okay? When you went home every night at the end of the day, did you walk up, knock on the door, knock on the windows, and beg to be let inside? Let me in! No, you didn't, did you? In most occasions. Okay? You just barged in. It's my house. Abba, Father, Daddy. I just barge right in. He's Dad. I love Him. I fear Him. I respect Him. I had all those things for my real dad, too. If I walked in the wrong way, I had a little fear to look out to. Actually, I was very close to my stepfather. My stepfather had been in the FBI. And Secret Service and all sorts of stuff like that. So I grew up knowing as a teenager these words ringing in my ears. Kevin, you know, if you do too many things in the wrong direction, I'll pull out an all-out investigation on you and I'll know exactly what you're doing. And you know something? There were times when my brother and I did things, and he knew exactly what we had done. I didn't come to find out until years later. My brother, whom I love very much, if he ever listens to this, I love you, talked in his sleep. Honestly. So much so, my stepdad, who had been in interrogation technique in the FBI, would go up at night and sit and hold a conversation with him. Sincerely, he would talk to him about all the details. And I would always wonder why we woke up in trouble the next morning. You know, are you squealing on me? What are you doing? And I come to find out years later, he laughed and he said, Kevin, all I had to do was go upstairs and I'd sit next to your brother as he laid in bed and I'd start to talk to him. And he'd tell me everything. It's kind of like the all-seeing eyes of God. You know, no matter what you do, he knows, right? God knows when we're talking in our sleep. But the whole point is, when you're in a relationship, there's fear, a proper respect that keeps you on the right road. And there's love that keeps you on the right road. And you don't want to hurt this family. Yeah, you mess up sometimes, but you walk in and you're free. Oh, but Daddy, it's my home. It's my house. Not always my car. It's my home. I had a cat. Some of you knew I had a cat named Buddy. He was a big bobcat of a Maine Coon. Man, he was big. 18, 20-pound cat. He was an indoor cat. And Buddy could have the rule of the roost. Happy cat. But if he went outside, he wasn't raised to go outside. And that bobcat wanted to escape out that door every time the door would open. Bam! Buddy, get back in there. Any animals like that in your home? Ma'am. You know, it's like a cat and little dog. So, throw me the ball, I'll come back. Okay, call me, I'll come back. Cats, you call them, they look back at you and go, you kidding me? I'm free. Well, Buddy was just free enough on one of his escapes. Remember, safety's inside. He was just free enough on one of his escapes to go out and eat a bunch of stuff that literally ended up killing him. We think our freedom will bless us, when in actuality, when we run beyond the borders of God, it destroys us and puts us under bondage. God loves freedom. God loves freedom. And He gives it to us lovingly, and He sets you free, forgiven, delivered, hope, life. But He says, son, daughter, where my spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is Lord, if you let me be your master, if you let me be the boss and leader, I know exactly how to lead you. There is therefore liberty. All right, let's move on. True Christianity frees a nation. True Christianity frees a nation. Where there's no true Christianity, there is a despotism, there is a tyranny, there is a cruel control, and souls yearn to be free. Psalm 144, verse 15. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Say that with me. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. No matter how bad we have become, how many of you realize the United States of America is still the country most of the people, or many and thousands upon thousands, still want to come to. It's still the nation people want to come to. Or else why would we be having so many troubles at our borders? Because it's the nation people still want to come to. We have freedom to worship, freedom to gather, freedom to get in our cars and drive, freedom to get in planes and fly, and to go in the boats if they work and go anywhere. Still the greatest country on earth. Our land was settled by the British. Our settlers, our pilgrims, our people, they didn't have any desire to bolt from that. They were law-abiding citizens. The King of England began to give decrees to allow no representation to respond to those decrees, no representation to the colonists, began to decree tax after tax, began to station military all the time on our shores, whether there was a reason to or not. Those military people began to rape and to pillage our colonists. And there was no way to rise up against them. Our congressional, or our state, if you will, the legislators of the areas would come up with laws and decrees to try to bring righteousness, even non-chaotic living. And the king, if he didn't sign off personally on everything, he wouldn't allow it to stand. And when it came to American laws, the king would get around to it maybe someday, sort of, if he had a mind to. One thing after another thing. And basically it turned out that the king at that time had nothing in mind for America but to rape the country of its coffers, of its liveliness, of its livelihood, and of its resources, its provision, its spirit, the very freedoms for which these people came. Soon, up and down the Atlantic coast, the cry literally became, you can read it in history books where they still acknowledge such things, the cry became, no king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. The colonists were not allowed trial by jury. No appeal was possible. The British military was plundering, and courageous men and women knew what needed to be done. Even up to the last moments, these courageous men and women hoped that something could be averted. They had no desire to not be British citizens. But with British troops and ships coming constantly into American harbors, it was clear that only separation would do. On June 11th of 1776, in anticipation for a vote for independence, the Continental Congress appointed Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston as a committee to draft a Declaration of Independence. The committee, as you probably know and remember, delegated Thomas Jefferson then to undertake the task. For the next several days, holed up pretty much quietly, privately in a room, he labored feverishly and fervishly to come up with a document that might freely express the freedoms desired in our country, and to outline those things which were atrocities against the colonists. Revisions began to take place, first from the small committee, and then when they took it back to the Congress. And of course, if you recall your history, Thomas Jefferson was a man a little full of himself, and he didn't like any of those revisions. But they all took place. They all took place. He was a brilliant man. Congress continued to revise the document, and its final adoption took place July 4th, 1776, 230 years ago. Congress then ordered the Declaration of Independence printed, and late on July 4th, John Dunlap, a Philadelphia printer, produced the first printed text of the Declaration of Independence. The first copies were known as the Dunlap Broadside. Some of you might recall that. They sent it out to the military leaders. When the one arrived in Washington's camp, he had it read to the army that was convened around him that he was trying to lead to a place, and he knew he would be having to lead to a place of victory. The document goes like this, with simply some excerpts. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And here's the part you are familiar with, most evidently. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, to provide new guards for their future security. And then it's enumerating all of the abuses to which the king tyrannically imposed. And it concludes about the king, a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. These thoughts still are among some of the most important in all of human history. These thoughts have both brought down a president in our country as well as kept some on track. These thoughts are important for us to realize again, even today, as we appreciate our freedoms. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, listen to this, and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind. Talk about an olive branch to those whom they were separating from. Listen to this, enemies in war, in peace, friends. These colonists wanted peace. I will really close very shortly with another paragraph from the Declaration. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. The signers of the declaration, almost to the person, died penniless, in poverty, their fortunes, their families, and their lives destroyed, so we can be here sitting in freedom this morning. Church, it is vital that we remember. By His grace, this land continues to be a bastion of freedom in which to worship. Let us be grateful. Hearts yearn for liberty as we celebrate the 4th of July. Let's do so with thanksgiving. And let's again dedicate our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors to God and to each other for the preservation of our freedom. I'll finish with one further story. You know that, who was our first president? You all know this. Easy. On the day of his inauguration, he set up a lot of things which are still followed to this day. George Washington was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he required that on his oath, his hand be placed upon a sacred set of scriptures, upon the Bible. In the Revolutionary War, he was an Episcopalian. And in this location, the Episcopalian church at which he wanted to worship had been burned to the ground. There was one church that remained. It was St. Paul's. And he went to St. Paul's. The first act after he was inaugurated was to go to church, to kneel down before God and worship him. There remains only one still serving church these many years later from the Revolutionary War. It is this same church at which Washington worshiped. It is directly across the street from the World Trade Towers. And when the towers were bombed and destroyed, although the church was covered with soot and with ashes and with debris, it kept its doors open and ministered to the heroes, the men and women who were helping the others. And it's still today a serving church. What a fantastic heritage from Washington to today. The cross still extends itself in the air. Hearts still yearn for freedom, for liberty. And liberty comes from Jesus. Let's stand. Lord, here we are as your people today with great gratitude. Gratitude for what you have done for us, both in the Spirit of the Lord as well as right here in this nation. Lord, we are grateful to be Americans that have this liberty. Lord, we want to see the extension of the cross. We want to avoid the errors of the past in doing so. But we want to attract people all around the world to Jesus. We want to see this earth filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. I believe the only reason we still exist as a nation is by your grace. And God, we ask you to be gracious once again in pouring out revival. Now this morning, we dedicate ourselves to you with gratitude. And once again, as a small church here in Fort Ludlow, we dedicate our nation to you. Heal our land, won't you, Lord? And we thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.